You'll be familiar with one of, in fact probably a lot of, Fanny Crosby's hymns. The one that I have in mind is, "Rich Are the Moments of Blessing." And you may well be thinking at this moment in time, what wouldn't I give for one of those moments that I could share in a congregational setting right now? We all, of course, feel the same. Miss Crosby flags up a condition that is all too prevalent right now. In that hymn, she talks about weariness and fainting and experiencing a lack of strength and living in the mist and the shadow and feeling that there is a dim sky away above her. And most of you, after almost 6 months of lockdowns, will be saying, weariness, fainting, lack of strength, the mist and the shadow, a dim sky above me. Been there, done that, and if some non-essential business was able to be opened, I'd get the t-shirt. Prior to coronavirus and the subsequent lockdowns, Julianne Holt Lundstedt engaged in a comprehensive study of the factors that prolong life. Her conclusion, I would probably say, and I have said, to many other people, because I heard it on the Radio 5, that wonderful authority, mixed in with all the sporting headlines and everything else, but I heard them debate about why over 80-year-olds, some were on the speedy end of the spectrum and really going well, full of energy, comparatively speaking, and others have virtually given up due to the rigours of their condition. And they said the big differential between all of them was those that were really going well ate plenty of jelly. That's what I would likely say here. But the top factors, according to Julianne Holt Lundstedt, when she was wondering what are the factors that prolong life, top factors were not what we might assume, not a matter of weight so much, or exercise, or clean air, or even heart rehab, though these are very important, of course, in their own way, but social interaction is the number one predictor of longer life, and close relationships comes in a very close second. Social interaction, close relationships. And so if you or I wanted to design a system that would be guaranteed to undercut the strongest factor in keeping people alive, then we could not possibly have come up with something worse or more devastating than lockdowns. Back to Miss Crosby's lines. Why should I ever grow weary? Why should I faint? By the way, has he not promised to give me strength for the toils of the day? Though by the mist and the shadow, sometimes my sky may be dim, rich are the moments of blessing spent in communion with him. And when I thought about those words and the scenario that she describes there, and all the fatigue and all of the fainting that is inbuilt into the scenario, they reminded me of the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah that we're looking at tonight in Isaiah chapter 14 and the verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the antidote to all of these issues and problems. And so we're entitling the message tonight, Life Through or During Lockdown. Maybe even Life Despite Lockdown. If we are honest with ourselves, and I'm talking spiritually here, we have to admit there's a lot of failure in our Christian living and service. And that's the reality. The first thing tonight, the reality. In our fatigue and fainting, there is much failure where we are concerned. And the Word of God, or the oracle. And I'm sure you, like I, are fed up listening to the suppositions of men over these months. One contradicting the other. So refreshing to get to the oracle, the Word of God. And that word, actually, it's quite negative on this one. It convinces us of our failure. We oftentimes faint, and we oftentimes have no might, and that's exactly what we're reading about in Isaiah, the chapter 14, and in the verse 29. Have a look at what the prophet is saying. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And the word for faint there is weak. Those people who are weak, those people as well who are weary, are fatigued and are fainting, it is to us that he gives might and also strength. But we have to confess, that's where I am, in a position of need, with no might and with fainting all around me. And in the verse 13, we read about those who are weary and also those who fall. And I have to be honest and say, well, that is God's description of me on so many occasions. I wish these factors and features would not characterize my life as a child of God in the world today, but I admit they do. And in the oracle, the Word of God, I am convinced of my failure. But not only the oracle, but observation tells me of my failure. I know it's true because I look in the mirror, the spiritual mirror, James' verdict on the mirror, the Word of God, and as I look in them, well, I see my own reflection and it corresponds. So I look at myself and I think, yes, it's right. There is failure and disappointment and weariness, and my own heart, it's beating in unison with that verdict and saying, it's true, you know, how faint and how weary we become. How far away from walking or running along the path of power and on the verge of victory we are. And over the last number of months, I've met so many people. One lady told me, it's added 10 years to my life. And others, I hear the story of weariness so regularly. The reality of our fatigue and fainting, but then the reason behind. That's the second thing, not only the reality of our fatigue and fainting, but the reason behind. What's the cause of our failure here? The primary cause is ignorance about the resources that are available to us. We fail to acknowledge our resources. Those things that are plentifully supplied and are at our disposal. Ignorance is a big issue. I want you to turn with me to Hosea and the chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4 and the verse 6. And the Lord laments here through the mouth of his prophet, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, saying, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Lack of knowledge. You see what we have in verse 28 of Isaiah 40, the very chapter that we're in tonight? What does the Lord talk about there in verse 28? Hast thou not known? Lack of knowledge. Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And so the prophet is going on here to build this composite picture of the living, the eternal God, the God of resources, the God who is beside us. He's the everlasting Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Creator. He's the one who has brought everything out of nothing. And there we are, in all of our fatigue and in all of our fainting, and the one who is the strength himself, omnipotent in his power, the one who gives power to the faint, he is right beside us. And I need to cry, Lord, open my eyes, enrich and enhance the level of my understanding, that I can see in the middle of my fatigue, in the middle of my failure, there is one who stands close by, who can give me exactly what I need. Ignorance of the resources at our disposal, a failure to acknowledge our resources. That's one of the reasons behind our fatigue and fainting. Another reason behind our cause is failure to tap into those resources. I'm talking about a word, appropriation, whereby we reach forward, grab hold of them, scoop them up and say, they're mine. I need those. I'm going to use those. Put them into daily usage. We fail to acknowledge and we fail to appropriate the resources that are at our disposal. I'm taking you back to verse 29 again in Isaiah chapter 40. What does 29 say? He giveth. Just underline that word, giveth. He giveth. So in 28 we are told how he is described here. We are told he is God, he is the Lord, he is the Creator, he's everlasting, he doesn't faint, he's never weary, there is no boundary to his understanding, he knows all things. That means he sees me in my fainting fits. They don't pass him by without his knowledge. They don't go under his radar, that he doesn't see where I am, that he can't notice that I'm struggling. But in 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And so he is giving to me exactly what I need, and it is up to me with the empty hands of faith to reach forward and say, Lord, I'm taking all that you're giving. He giveth power to the faint. Now notice there's a very interesting word here, very common word, but still interesting. Who are the people who, after being fatigued and wearied, being weak and fainting, who are the people that tap into the Lord's resources? Well, that's what brings us to verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord. These are the people that come to acknowledge there are the very resources we need available to us. And they come to appropriate, take hold of those resources that they need. They that wait upon the Lord. How do we wait on the Lord? Does that mean to pray? Of course it does. Does that mean to worship him? It certainly does. Does that mean to read the word? It most definitely does. Does that mean to attend on the means of grace? There's no doubt about it. But let me give you another shade of meaning. And for that, you'll drop into the next chapter. Isaiah 41 to verse 1, you will read there the first two words in our English Bible, keep silence. Keep silence before me, O ye islands. That's how we wait. That's how we wait upon the Lord. We wait there, keeping silence before Him. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 and 10. In Psalm 62 and 1, you can check it out as well. The word waiteth. My soul waiteth upon God. It means, and you'll find it probably in the margin of your Bible at that point, in Psalm 62 and the verse 1, the word waiteth means to be silent. Waiting upon God means that we are casting ourselves on Him in our brokenness and in our emptiness and in our complete dependence, and we are ready to hear His voice and to do His bidding. And all of our expectation is from Him, and all of our concentration is on Him. We have closed the world out. We have shut out all competing voices and all other calls, and we have complete confidence in the Lord, and no confidence whatsoever in ourselves or in any form of human help. People may tell us, use the time to build up confidence. You and I can't build confidence in stats or science, because they've proven to be skewed and ever-changing. But where we do build up our confidence, and it's needed right now, is in the ever-living, never-changing Christ. Confidence cannot be built on any other foundation. The reality of our fatigue and fainting, the reason behind our fatigue and our fainting, and then the third thing that we're looking at tonight, and the final one, the route through. R-O-U-T-E, of course. The route through. We all know about roots in Ulster. Hopefully we will know about some of them in the summertime, but the route through our fatigue and fainting. Lord, how can I get through to the other end? How can I find myself through this whirling currents, those eddies, that turbulence, to safety again? And that's exactly where verse 31 of Isaiah 40 comes in. But they that wait upon the Lord shall, here come the promises, shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And as we've emphasized there, four shalls, promises, in this one verse. And they chart the route through our fatigue and our fainting. First shall deals with exchange. They shall renew their strength. That word renew can be rendered, they shall change, or they shall exchange their strength. Now, where's the exchange going to come in? Well, it's going to come in verse 29 and 30 and 31. Notice a contrast. God doesn't faint. He's not weary. He gives might. That's where our strength is going to come from. That's where I take my weakness and I exchange my lack of power for His wonderful power. There's an exchange here. And so in all of my weakness and all of my fatigue and all of my fainting, I come to Him and He gives me His strength. What kind of strength? Well, it's physical. For sure. You can read that, and we don't have time to check up all the references here, but you can read about it in Romans 8 and the verse 11. Physical strength, He gives that. Not only that, but what's really required at this moment in time? Mental strength and fortitude. He's the fountain of all wisdom. He quickens our minds when we meet before Him. And you can check it out again, that transformation of a mind. In Romans 12 and verse 2, in Ephesians 4 and verse 23, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. And we'll turn to 2 Timothy 1 and to the verse 7. Taking one text rather than all three, but you can cross-reference and read the others at your leisure. 2 Timothy 1 and the verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That will do terrible things to your mind if that spirit of fear gets let loose right through your thought processes. He hasn't given us that. So if we have it, it's coming from somewhere else. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. And how we need to pray in this day of confusion. Lord, keep my mind on track. I need physical strength. I need mental strength. I get it from Him. Moral strength. We are living in a world that is full of tempting, alluring voices, signals. We need moral strength. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. And not only do we have a picture of God giving us here physical strength, mental strength, moral strength, but, of course, spiritual strength. And in Luke 24 and 49 we have that. In Acts 1 and the verse 8. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 25. In Isaiah 13 and the verse 15. And that reference we'll turn to. So let's go back 10 chapters or so to Isaiah chapter 13 and the verse 15. And what do we read? For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And so the Lord is saying, you're looking for physical, for mental, for moral, and you're looking for spiritual strength. I am the fountain of all of those. Let's do that exchange. Let's come to Him tonight, and Lord, we are saying, Lord, here's my fatigue and here's my fainting. I need Thy force. Give me power. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Let's read verse 29 once more again. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Lord, I love that. It's Your promise. Exchange. Not only that, there's elevation here, because we're told in verse 31 of Isaiah 40, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and so there it goes, far above the normal levels of earth, where those, as the hymn writer put it, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And so that eagle is soaring, and that's the picture of where we are going under the strength of the Lord. That eagle, it's the only bird that flies so high that it goes out of sight. And human eyes cannot pick it up when it's as high as it wants to be. And that, of course, is where we belong. We belong, even though we're here on earth today, we belong to heaven right now. Philippians 3 and verse 20. Here and now we are raised up together with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. And you can correspond the reference there with what we read in Colossians 3 and verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, Paul writes in Colossians, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And yet, how many times I, as a Christian, I am earthbound. I'm scurrying and hopping along the ground like a bird with a broken wing, trailing that wing that should be lifting me up into the heights. I'm trailing it in the dirt of earth. Lord, give us the eagle aspect and experience. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Because we are made as God's people to fly, not to hop. There's exchange, there's elevation, there's exertion too. We shall run and not be weary. Back in school, I was never fast enough to get into the top number of guys in my year running 100 meters. Or even 200 meters. There were always some faster in those sprints than I was. 400 meters, though, was my distance. And I enjoyed running in the school teams on that level. But 100, 200? Not a chance. Would never have done it. But still, even though it's a longer distance, and 800 as well, you don't run and not feel weary. And when, if you're in the relay, you're passing over the baton, you're down in your haunches afterwards because you put all of the energy you've had into those seconds, or a little more than a minute, if it's 800, running the race there. But here's exertion, where we're running and not being weary. God is promising supernatural power for the completion of supernatural tasks, for doing His service, for being involved in following Him and what He does in lives and hearts and in people's homes. You can't quantify it as anything other than supernatural. It is no secret what God can do. When He saves a soul, cleanses, makes it whole, it takes a miracle of love and grace. And so we have exertion here, running and not being weary. And then there is earnestness. Because the final phrase is, they shall walk and not faint. That's kind of scaling it away down, is it not? We've been up in the heights here like the eagle. Then we've been running at all speed here, really doing something, accomplishing something, achieving something. And now we're just walking. They shall walk and not faint. Doesn't even say they shall run and not faint, but walk and not faint. Sometimes it's easier to run than to walk. This is living in victory in the hardest place of all, because it's in the mundane area, just the walking place, the routine round of life, where people can spot our every movement, because we're not away out of view like the eagle anymore. We're not running like a flash, if that were possible, anymore. We're walking. And every movement is seen by everybody with eyes and discernment. They see the movement of every limb. And it's difficult. It's very hard in this daily routine of life to walk and not faint. Here's the big test. When you're in the common round, in the workplace, in the home, oh, to be like Enoch, who walked with God. Genesis 5 and 24, Psalm 37 and the verse 23, who we're told, don't be fretting thyself like the evildoers, don't be wanting to run like them to mischief. But let's read Psalm 37 and the verse 23. Psalm 37, the 23rd verse. And what do we have? The steps of a good man. Every single step. Now this is pretty much slow motion again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Great preacher and commentator Dr. A.B. Simpson used to very often get alone in the presence of God, and he said, Lord, I'm a failure. I have new strength and I have new life. But thou art my life. Thou art my strength. Thou art my victory. Then by faith he would reach forward and take this life of his risen Lord for his body and his mind and his spirit. That's what it means to wait upon the Lord. Then we'll know life during and despite lockdown. Let's read our verse in closing again. The 31st of Isaiah 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Lord, I'm fatigued. I'm fainting. I need this promise to become not just theoretical, but actual in my life right now. May it happen.